Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, January 12, 2018, and for our final CES show, our CES wrap-up, I'm here again with John F. Braun. How are you, John?
Very good, Jeff.
It's
nice to be home.
And it's great that we got to spend so much time together. I really appreciate the time that we get to spend literally together and not through the internet. And Dave Hamilton, how are you doing?
I'm stellar. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And I'm glad that we got to spend time together at CES as well. It's a great place to see cool products, but it's also a nice opportunity to actually be with friends. So that's really cool. Also cool, we have our sponsors, OWC, Elgato, and Smile. Thank you to all of them for sponsoring us all week so that we could make sure that we were getting our on-location CES coverage out to all of you every day of the week. So thank you, OWC, Elgato, and Smile. So I didn't ask you guys before we started recording. So now you're totally unprepared. Is there any standout topic that you saw at the show, not specific products, that you feel that we need to address today in our wrap up?
I think the one for me is voice control, and we had that conversation earlier this week.
Yep, the voice control thing was big for me.
Yep.
Actually, I have something that we should address for at least a couple minutes. And I'm just really curious what you guys think. So in previous years, I have felt like even though Apple is not present at CES, they have been a big presence simply because that's what's on everyone's mind, all the developers, all the vendors, when they're creating their products. They want to relate it to Apple in some way. I didn't feel that same Apple overtone this year, and I'm curious if that was just me or if you guys experienced that too.
No, I experienced it too. It very much so. It was Apple, like you said, Apple always had a presence. I mean, that was most palpable the year that the iPad was rumored to be released soon, and then it was released in March, right? You know, that was like, oh, our tablet's better than the iPad. It's like, first of all, the iPad hasn't been announced yet. Secondly, how do you know? This year, nothing. I mean, I had a lot of conversations with people who sort of casually asked, where is HomePod? I think we talked about that earlier this week. Mm-hmm. But even that was like, almost, it was curiosity, but it was also sort of a joke. Like, nobody expects HomePod to be relevant in this market. No one says that nobody's going to buy it. There's the Apple diehards. That's sort of the message I got. Everybody feels like, well, the Apple diehards are buy it, but for $350, look around. There's a million things that are way better and way more integrated for you to use. It's like, well, yeah, I can't argue with that.
You can buy them
today. Apple wasn't part of it. Yep. And you can buy them today. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, go ahead, John. Sorry.
What I noticed. Yeah, I noticed this. I think this is the year of smart. And maybe not for the best. You know what I'm saying? No. What am I saying? What I'm saying is I'm starting to get sick of hearing the word smart. Because everybody's slapping that label on their stuff and it's not necessarily smart. I don't know.
Well,
just me.
No,
I went to one booth, for example. They said they had a smart food containment system, containment system. I'm like, yeah, okay. And the guy shows me the module, and you know, it has an LED on it. And he's like, yeah, okay. Well, you press the button when you put your food in there, and then the lights change color. And I'm like, well, yeah. What's so smart about that? And then he explains the system, and he's like, oh, well, no, that's not the only thing we do. We got a recipe database, and we got this, and you know, we can interact with that. And you know, as he described. I'm like, oh, actually, that is pretty smart. But there's overuse to me of the smart term now. And I don't know about you. I you know, it's starting to, you know, I start to filter it out. Just because everybody's saying what they do is smart.
Yeah, no, it sounds to me like it's kind of a thing where we're getting, what's a good way to describe it? Word inoculation?
Desensitization. It's easy for you to say. You bet.
Today it's not. Oh, man. But thank you. Yeah, I think that's what it is. The term is being bandied around so much that it, in some cases, it feels like it may be losing its meaning. So I get what you're saying, John. Yeah.
But I was pleased that a lot of things do, in fact. Well, I'll let you judge based on the things that remaining things I have to write and or say.
All right. Well, then we should probably hop into some topics. But Dave, am I right that we have sponsors this week?
We do. You mentioned them. Elgato, Smile, and OWC at maxsales.com. Without them, we really, you know, they help offset our costs for going to CES and putting on all this coverage and all this stuff. And they are stellar. So thanks to each and every one of them. Elgato, yes. Smile, and OWC.
I appreciate all of those companies. So thank you. Thank you. And we should talk about some more interesting products we have found. Dave, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Cases are not something I go out of my way to talk about all the time, but the Rhino Shield Mod case was something that stuck out to me. It's a case for your iPhone, and they've got them for the 10 and I think the 8. But it's modular in that it's a bumper and can be used just as a bumper, or you sort of take out this little rim from the inside of what is the bumper, and then you can put in, and it comes with it, you can put in a back to this case. So you can have it either way. And when the back's in, it feels like, once it's on your phone, it feels like a solid, sturdy iPhone case. And of course, you can swap out different backs. They've got all kinds of different ones, and they're working on different things. The Rhino Shield folks, I've known them for a while, basically known them since they started in the market. They understand the value of iterating on their design and staying relevant. And that doesn't always happen. You know, we'll see companies kind of step into the market with something that works really well, and they sell lots of those and then sort of fade away. Mm-hmm. And Rhino Shield started with, you know, their first cases, which were, their goal is great protection, including drop protection, and very, very thin. So as thin as it can be with having great drop protection, and they still accomplish that. In fact, when I switched to this one, just to experiment with it before we talked about it here. So I switched before I got on my plane and all that stuff yesterday, and my phone felt smaller because I had a different case on it. Yeah. Which is good, you know, in a good way. So I like the idea of this modular case, because there were some other things that I checked out at the show to protect the back of the iPhone 10 so that it could be left exposed. And it was like, oh, hey, look at this. This is interesting. Here's this bumper from a company that I trust, that I know, because they've been doing this a while. But it's not just a bumper. So, and it comes with a clear back, so to start with, which is kind of cool on its own. So yeah, the Rhino Shield Mod case, $32.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. All right. John, what do you have?
So here's one that I actually found in Eureka Park, and believe it or not, the first platform that it's being released on is Apple. The guy I spoke to is actually a guy did it as a Apple developer and actually a computer science teacher, which I thought was pretty cool.
Cool. So you're leaving me hanging.
What is it?
Yes. What is it?
It's called Vault. VALT.
Okay. And what exactly is Vault?
It's a password manager. But here's where it's different from other password managers, is that it's visual. So let's call it a visual password manager. And what makes it a visual password manager? Well, I'm going to tell you. So when you set up the system, with a lot of password managers, you set them up and you set up a username and a master password. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their approach, what they do is that they generate a random master password. But here's what they do first. Your master password is created by you looking at a series of images, or it hands you, it gives you a series of images. So when you start the system up, it will show you an image, and that's part of your visual password. You see the image, it then asks you to click on a certain portion of it. So like click on the nose, on the face that I'm showing you. So then it goes to the next one.
Is this kind of like the way Google is doing their captchas with grids of images?
Where and other people have used it for their purposes here. They're using it to generate the master or to at some point in the future let you authenticate to your randomly generated master password that you never see.
Okay.
So you basically get a set of 9 images. So it puts you through a training process. You see 9 images. It asks you to click on a specific part of it to make sure that you're paying attention and that it burns it kind of into your brain. Then it tests you and it shows you a grid of 15 images and you have to hit the 3 that are part of your visual password. If you successfully get through that exercise, it unlocks your vault and then it's just like any other password manager. You also get a recovery key in case you do forget your images.
I was going to say, okay, so they've figured out the fail safe or the safety net.
But the unique approach here is that you never touch or have anything to do with the master password. In the sense that it's not a password.
Right, it's an encryption key that you get access to via these other, at least primarily visual methods. That's pretty cool.
That's interesting.
And what's the service cost? How do they charge for it?
Right now, it appears to be free. Though there was mention of a, I'll have to go through my notes of a yearly charge for some synchronization service. I'll have to review it, but I was able to get it up and running, and they made an update where I think they consolidate everything in iCloud for you.
Gotcha.
So I'll verify that.
That's pretty cool.
But you can, so right now it's an app in the App Store. It's an app in the iOS store, so you can run it on either your iPhone or your Mac, and then they have plugins for Chrome and Safari. So
cool.
So you can give it a try for free, see if you like it, and then, I have an article where I'll go into detail about the costs. I think that's in flux right now, but it's a really unique approach to securing your information because, some people are just visual.
I think it sounds like an interesting concept. So cool. I'm looking forward to seeing your write up on it. Okay. So what I have is an app and it's actually kind of cool. It's from STM. They're the company that makes, actually, I think their formal name is STM Goods, but STM, they make tech gear, bags and stuff. And I've used their products in the past. They've been really good. So I was curious to see what they're doing. They've developed this augmented reality app that when you point your iPhone or iPad camera at one of their bags, it then pops up into a virtual version of the bag on your screen. So now you can spin it around, look at it from different angles, open up all the pockets, put accessories into it, put it into an X-ray mode, and look through the bag to see different features. So it's a really cool way, or at least convenient way, to be able to shop for their products without having to go to a store, because it'll register what you're looking at if it's on a computer screen or in a print magazine, whatever. If it can see the picture of the product, it will give you the virtual version. But if you're in a store, you can look at something on the wall and now have it on your iPhone or iPad and explore it that way too. So it's an easy way to learn about their products. And for me, seeing the demonstration, I was like, okay, this is really great because this gives you the way to go in and really explore the products without having to do anything more than just start looking at it. But they also have this other thing that's part of it where if you put a tag on someone, and they have these little tags, you can print them out, you can get stickers different places. So put one like in the middle of someone's back and then aim your camera at that, and it takes the bag you're looking at and puts it on the person. So you can see how a bag fits someone. You can get a better idea crazy. Of actual size.
Whoa. Yeah. That's so, pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think it's a really clever and interesting use of augmented reality. And it takes the idea that, you know, like what IKEA has been doing, where you can take a product and see it in your real world environment. And that's what STM is doing, but they're doing it with something you're wearing. And for a lot of people, that makes a huge difference on picking out a bag. So I really love what they're doing there, and no one else is doing this yet. But since they've created their app and released it, you can bet there will be other bag makers that jump on this and start developing similar apps of their own. So it's a free download, and like I said, you don't even have to be in a store to use it. All you have to do is find one of their bags, even on your computer screen, and now you can virtually explore it.
Clever.
Very clever.
And a good use of this, right? I mean, like this is kind of some of the cool stuff. This isn't life-changing, but handy.
Yeah, no, it's not life-changing. And handy is a really great way to describe it.
But it could turn out to be handy in the same way that, hey, it was handy to be able to shop for things online instead of having to call on the phone, right? I mean, this could actually be life-changing in a more meta sense. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Dave, do you have anything else?
Yes, I do. The, you know, with our newfound ability to use the old technology of Qi charging, I'm really interested in things that can really kind of make life better. And Skosh has their new Magic Mount Pro 2 series, and they have done some stellar things here. I got to get the name right, and I won't without looking it completely up. But I think it's the Magic Mount Charge 2, not Pro 2. I think it's all of the above. It's Magic Mount Pro Charge. There you go. They have what these are mounts for your car, and they've got four of them in different ways, but they have a Qi charger in them, of course, mm-hmm. because that's why I'm talking about it. And they have a magnet in them, and they come with two, what they call magic plates that you put in the right spots inside your case so that the Qi coil is not being blocked by the magnets. And you can just take your phone when you get in the car and you pop it on the mount and you're done. It just mounts automatically because it's magnetic, and it starts charging because it's got a Qi pad all built into one. They have there's a case actually called the Presidio mount from spec that matches mm-hmm. to this. So you can do it that way. Or like I said, they come with the plates, and you can get templates for every phone. So you know exactly where to put these plates. You can print them out, say, okay, here's where to put the plate inside my case. You lay them in your case, you put the phone in the case, and everything's golden.
You know, I got a few minutes. So where I was able to check out these, their Qi car mounts too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the car mount that I've been using, it broke shortly before CES. So I've been on the hunt for something new.
Perfect timing. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I saw these at CES, I thought, okay, I think I may have just found my new car mount.
Totally. Yep. And they've got, like I said, there's four of them, depending on how you want to do it. The window dash, which has a suction base, the vent, which clips on or fits onto your air vents, the surface for just setting on the console, and they use what they call their stick grip mat, and then CD, which has been my favorite, at least until cars stop being made with CD players. But eject your CD first, your last CD, the one you put in there a few years ago, eject that because you're not using that anymore. And then you slide this thing in, and it's a pressure mount inside the CD changer, and it fits there. So yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Yes.
Smart. Yep.
All right. We're out of time, but John, I feel bad that you didn't get to share a second product. So do you have something that you found that you like that you can talk about quickly?
Yes.
Awesome.
the folks at Moduware, an Australian company, and they verified that, yes, everything in Australia does want to kill you. They're making a modular hardware expansion platform that you can use with your iPhone or the battery pack that they're going to be releasing. So what is it in a nutshell? It's going to be a battery pack. They call it the Mod Pack. It's going to be a 5,600 milliamp hour pack, and then it has six slots for modules, along with connections to your smart device. And then you pick the modules, and here's the cool part. So it's like build your own iPhone, in a sense, or build your own iPhone expansion.
Okay.
So the modules range from a speaker, a battery, a backup module, SD card, USB interface, and then they get kind of interesting. I'm looking here. Temperature and humidity, an LED, a laser pointer, a hotkey, an air contaminants module, an air quality module, a speaker, and a battery. And there are more coming.
So
I thought it was fascinating. It's going to be first offered in a battery pack, which can have six expansion modules where you plug in these modules. Mm-hmm. And then they're also going to be offering a case where you can put three of them. And the first one's going to be an iPhone 7 case. So say you'd like to have a laser pointer and an air quality module and one of the others as part of your iPhone. Well, there you go. So such a novel concept, kind of like Legos to build an iDevice.
It sounds to me like it's a way to turn your iPhone into a tricorder.
Really does, and you pick the modules that you want to use. I mean, especially that one. I mean, you could. I mean, it has an air quality module, so you could pretend to be, you know,
that's
testing the atmosphere.
That's really cool.
You know, being the red shirt.
So, yeah, is this out yet?
No, it's coming out in March.
And, okay.
I'm also doing a write-up on this, so you can look at that for more details.
Awesome.
But it just struck me as, you know, this is something I think a lot of hardware or iGeeks are just people would want. I mean, you make the choice as to what capabilities you want to give your phone.
That's very
cool. Battery pack.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
Absolutely. And John, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
And actually, thanks to both of you for just the whole week. It was great to get to hang out with you. I loved all the different things that we found at CES, and I love that we were all finding different things. That was just so cool. And thanks to our sponsors all week long, OWC, Elgato, and Smile. It's been great having all three of them as our sponsors for CES. That was just fantastic. Listeners, I'm so glad that you joined us for the whole week too, and that we got the opportunity to be your eyes and feet on the ground by proxy at CES 2018. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday.